Hello, this is Andy Bombeck, and welcome to another Mojo Music, where I'll be reading articles from Mojo Magazine, along with playing snippets of music. Please let Sun Sounds Radio know if you enjoyed today's program, or how it could be improved. Okay, if you're a big Steely Dan fan like I am, well then today is your day. As I mentioned last week, I'm going to continue reading articles from the April issue of Mojo Magazine 2024. So I'm going to start off with the Steely Dan article, which Mojo counts down the top 30 Steely Dan songs. And then I'm going to read an obituary for Mary Weiss, who is the one of the members of the Shangri-Las, and songs like Leader of the Pack, who passed away, and a classic album review of Off the Wall by Michael Jackson. So I'm beginning with the 30 greatest Steely Dan songs, The Wise Guys, a 10-page celebration. Walk on Parts for Charlie Parker, the opera singer Kathy Berberian, and a basketball player called Jungle Jim, Loose Cut Off. Location visits to Annandale in upstate New York and the caves of Altarima in Spain. A drinks menu stocked with Kitchwasher, Retsina, Cuervo Gold Tequila, and Tanqueray Gin. A ride on the Wolverine train out of New York. And most delightful of all, a Japanese dildo invented by William Burroughs. The Steely Dan 3 from Yokohama. The world that Walter Becker and Donald Fagen evoke in the songs of Steely Dan resembles a connoisseur's take on the American 20th century. At once snarky and affectionate, cynical and serendipitously moral. Their songs encapsulate high art and low lives. Their albums have the wit, heft, eruditin, and resonates of great American novels. Their chops, of course, are consummate. Over 9 studio albums, Steely Dan provided the perfect soundtrack for upwardly mobile lifestyles, while simultaneously skewering the venality and pretension that at least some of their listeners aspired to. A very smart trick, and few artists in Mojo's pantheon have been smarter than Becker and Fagen. The pair met in 1967 in Annandale. Students at Bard College, who began playing with what Fagen called in his memoir, the funky grooves, the jazz chords, and the sensibility of the lyrics, which seemed to fall somewhere between Tom Lehrer and Pale Fire. Over the next half century, with a vast supporting cast of gifted musicians and the odd solo hiatus, Steely Dan parlayed that undergraduate vision into subversion on a multi-platinum scale. Complexity becomes them to this day. As we celebrate the 50th anniversary of Pretzel Logic, and Fagen embarks on another season of touring with his current lineup, and consequently, the wisdom of ranking their songs seems a little gutch. One can imagine the late Becker's droll contempt for such a folly. Nevertheless, you say it's a crazy scheme to pluck a little wisdom from Deacon Blues. This one's for real. Coming at number 30, Trans Island Skyway from Donald Fagen from the album Kamakirid, 1993. Speculative Friction and a Serendipitous Reunion. The gleaming future that never arrived as promise has been a constant source of disappointment for boomers. Odd, then, that so much of notorious cynic Donald Fagen's solo work has revisited his teenage fantasies. Exhibit A. The syncopated pulse of Kamakirid's opening track, a bebop, sophisticates ideal of the perfect car. The frame is out of Glasgow. The tech is Balinese. So far, so smoothly transporting, but nestling in Trans Island Skyway's credits is an old friend destined to thwart the idealism. Walter Becker, producing back alongside Fagen's 13 bumpy years after Gaucho. And here's a little bit of that song, Trans Island Skyway, from Donald Fagen, from his album Kamakirid. Number 29, Sign in Stranger from the Royal Scam, 1976. A whole new identity, but at what price? Don and Walt aren't sane. In this futuristic crime saga, Fagen and Becker speak of reformative and escapist opportunities for an outlaw zombie. But what knocks this deep cut up to the Dan's top shelf are the compelling zigzagging melody, plus masterful accompaniment, and solos by the late piano pro Paul Griffin and searing guitarist Elliot Randall. The later's modulated outro is utterly thrilling and kicked into the atmosphere by powerful horn charts. Yet another example of Steely Dan's singular musicality. And here's some of that song, Sign in Stranger, from Steely Dan from the Royal Scam.
Have you heard about the boomers? I'm fine. People got to shout to stay online. They don't even have policemen one. Doesn't matter where you've been or what you've done. Do you have a dark spot?
Number 28, Cousin Dupree, from Two Against Nature, year 2000. The Kings of Smut Rock take on another taboo. No doubt the only pop song addressing in-family sex to win a Grammy Award. When the protagonist tries to seduce his cousin while watching her wax her skis, the shyly scorns him, nailing the skeevy look in your eyes and the dreary architecture of your soul. Walter shines on a slinky guitar and a funky bass, reminding us again what a terrific instrumentalist he was. While Fagan's stepdaughter, Amy Helm, whistles during the bridge, appropriately keeping it in the family. And here's some of that song, Cousin Dupree, from Steely Dan, from Two Against Nature. Number 27, Book of Liars, from 11 Tracks of Whack, 1994, sung by Walter Becker, co-produced by Fagan. Sounds like, tellingly, after Becker died in 2017, Fagan paid tribute by introducing, or more accurately, reintroducing, one solo Becker track into the Steely Dan live set. It's easy to see why it was Book of Liars. Like the rest of the Fagan co-produced 11 Tracks of Whack, it's unashamedly Dan-esque, although more Spartan. But it's the album's highlight. It glides majestically. Becker adds a touch of cynicism. There's a star in the Book of Liars by your name. And the rest glows. A bet while glowering. And here's a little bit of that song, Book of Liars, from Walter Becker, from his album, 11 Tracks of Whack.
By and by, girl, we'll get over the things we've done and the things we've said. But not just now, girl, and I can't remember exactly what it was I thought we had. You waited so long, girl, and I came so far. See that you're not always who you say you are. And there's a star in the Book of Liars by your name. And there's a star in the Book of Liars by your name. Claus came home late last night, drunk on Christmas wine. Fell down hard out in the driveway, hung his bag out on the laundry line. Knew he's got a Cobra gunship for his golden boy, and there's a Hello Kitty for his pride and joy. Silver star in the Book of Liars by your name.
And voted number 26, top Steely Dan song, Things I Miss the Most, from their album Everything Must Go 2003. More first world problems from the poets of Same. Post-divorce, Fagan's jaded avatar itemizes the good things that have walked out the door. The talk, the sex, somebody to trust. Sequencing drolly into the material losses. The audit, TT, the house on the vineyard. Superlative songcraft chops, suggesting Cole Porter via Randy Newman in a tune as catchy as any that Dan ever wrote. In 2003, Fagan had been married to Libby Titus for a decade and appears to remain so. Maybe he found his own song, Salutary. And here's a little bit of that song, Things I Miss the Most, from Steely Dan, from the album Everything Must Go. Mojo Magazine's 25th Best Steely Dan Song, Only a Fool Would Say That, from Can't Buy a Thrill, 1972. Impossible Dreams hit the buffers of Merciless Reality, could be, to a looted-up, oddly rueful bossa amble. Fagan examines his nails, turns, and looks over his shades to reflect on utopia. From one angle, it seems to dismiss the hippie elite's unreliable Aquarian ideals and contempt for the bill-paying 9-to-5 shalub loan theory is it relates to Lenin at his white piano, imagining no possessions. From another, the do-nothing cynic brigade is hoist by its own petard. A curious hint of murder as the jazz guitars sparkle on the motel pool. And here's a little bit of that song, Only a Fool Would Say That, from Steely Dan, from the album Can't Buy a Thrill.
A world become one of salads and sun. Only a fool would say that. A boy with a plan, a natural man, wearing a white Stetson hat. Unhand that Gandhi gong, there's no one to fire upon. If he's holding it high, he's telling a lie. I heard it was you talking about a world where all is free. It just couldn't be, and only a fool would say that. The man in the street dragging his feet, don't wanna hear the bad news. Imagine your face there in his place, standing inside his brown shoes. You do his 9-to-5, drag yourself home, have a life. And there on the screen, a man with a dream. I heard it was you.
Coming in at number 24, one of my favorites, King of the World, from the album Countdown to Ecstasy, 1973. Drive time music, post-apocalypse style. The grimly humorous lyric describes a survivor of a nuclear holocaust, hold up for safety, rereading bad news in last year's papers, and trying to contact others via an old radio with intent to drive through the ruins of Santa Fe. It showcases early Dan as a cooking band. The interplay between Walter Becker's ebullient bass and Jim Hodder's limber drums, matched by Jeff Baxter's wah-wah chord work and Denny Diaz's fluid lead lines, while Donald Fagen's synth melody adds a melancholic twist. And here's some of that song, King of the World, from Steely Dan, from their album Countdown to Ecstasy.
Was it you I used to know? Can't you hear me?
number 23, Everyone's Gone to the Movies, from Katie Lied, 1975. Break Out the Popcorn with Donald and Walters, Skin Flick Creep. A percussive bromance between drum prodigy Jeff Porcaro, 20, and vibraphone veteran Victor Feldman, 40, the Dan's queasy tale of underage corruption vastly improves upon both their 1971 demo and their inspiration, Frank Zappa's similar Celebration of Sleaze. Despite darkly funny, deeply triggering verses, whose insinuating enticement to join Mr. Lepage showing his films in the den is echoed in a snaky saxophone licking your ear, the chorus is sing-along pop heaven. Now we're alone at last, indeed. And here's some of that song, Everyone's Gone to the Movies by Steely Dan, from their album, Katie Lied. Ranked number 22 by Mojo Magazine, top Steely Dan songs is the album Glamour Profession from Gaucho, 1980. The glory years of cocaine being good for you spoiled. To the most machine smooth, lightest stepping, jazz disco production, A Tale of Coke Dealing from Snorting Ball Player, Hoops McCain, all the way to Cartel sales rep Jive Miguel via showbiz parties, a smuggler's yacht, and by inference, the heart attack emergency room. Best bit, when the old nose candy actually speaks and declares, Hollywood, I know your middle name. A towering, immaculate piece of We Told You So, Dan Snark. It makes the whole amoral mess sound alluring and encourages speculation on the identities of the protagonist. And here's some of that song, Glamour Profession, from Steely Dan, from their album, Gaucho. second, number 21, Black Friday, from Katie Lyde, 1975. In the USA, the term Black Friday currently connotes, number one, that November day after Thanksgiving, when early Christmas shoppers traditionally score their best deals. Number two, that fateful week in 1929, when the Great Depression kicked in. And number three, most notably, that notorious Black Day in 1869, when the price of gold fell by 20%. The stock market crashed, and panic was, as always, widespread. In related news, it's also one of Steely Dan's very best songs. The opening track of Katie Lied, the band's fourth album, appropriately bearing a Katie Did, or Bush Cricket, on its cover. It marks the debut of Steely Dan the duo and the exit of Steely Dan the band. With the departure of guitarist Jeff Baxter and drummer Jim Hodder, and guitarist Denny Diaz seemingly relegated to a minimal presence, Walter Becker and Donald Fagen would pilot their fully gassed-up car alone from that point forward, and significantly with a host of emplory musicians to choose from. Black Friday's searing guitar leads and bass are provided by none other than Becker himself, and their howling fluidity and consciousness are remarkable and ever now. Who needed another guitarist? It's fitting that the first track, unreleased post-ban, would take up the end of the world as we know it as its subject matter. While panicked execs leap from high-rise windows, the song's shady protagonist is announcing his plans to depart this world of high finance, fly to Australia, take off his socks and shoes, and feed the kangaroos until the whole mess blows over. It's a completely Danian masterwork. Quirky characters, including an anonymous archbishop, quirky actions striking all the big red words from my little black book, and quirky afterthoughts. I guess I'll change my name. And one of Black Friday's marvels is how every much it sounds like it was written just yesterday. The gray men diving from the 14th floor now evokes visions of the World Trade Center on 9/11. Hiding from civilization in the outback could be someone's legitimate COVID avoidance strategy. Digging a hole and laying down in it until you satisfy your soul has been around since the Neanderthals. Some things never change. Though there were technical issues in the recording of Katie Lied that would mar its making for the band and producer, Gary Katz, it's not what we recorded, Katz told me back in 1984. Sonically, it is a marvel. And Black Friday, from its dual piano fade-in, courtesy of sessioners David Page and Michael Omerturin, to the vocals provided by Fagen and Vital New Edition Michael McDonald, and the driving beat of drummer Jeff Porcario, then just 20. Steely Dan, the band, may have broken up, but Steely Dan, the recording artist, had never sounded stronger. And here's a little bit of that song, Black Friday, from Steely Dan, from their album, Katie Lied.
Oh,
in the Steely Dan song coming in at number 20, Dr. Wu, from the album Katie Lied, 1975. Dr. Who, more like Wu, remains a cipher. A personification of Katie's dope habit, a shrink who abuses his power, the protagonist's savior when he was halfway crucified. Across the years, Becker and Fagan delighted in explanational observation. Bell Tree Shimmers and Phil Woods's alto sax elevate the airbrushed elegance. Michael McDonald found his by part thrilling but challenging, and Katie's denial of her drug use, of an affair with Wu, provided the title of Steely Dan's fourth album. Probably the only pop song to use the word plaster to. And here's a little bit of that song, Dr. Wu, from Steely Dan, from their album, Katie Lied. I'm going to stop with the Steely Dan songs, with the Steely Dan countdown, but I will continue that next week. Okay, now I'm going to continue on with an obituary titled Pack Leader. The Shangri-La's streetwise singer, Mary Weiss, has left us age 75. Crying seagulls, revving engines, and powerful young female singer whose voice could tear your heart out. In 1964, when the Shangri-La's songs Remember, Walking in the Sand, and Leader of the Pack first appeared, there was no other group quite like them. Here's some of that song, Leader of the Pack, by the Shangri-La's.
Betty, is that Jimmy's ring you're wearing?
Mm-hmm.
Gee, it must be great riding with him. Is he picking you up after school today?
Mm-mm.
By the way, where did you meet him?
I met him at the candy store. He turned around and smiled at me. You get the picture?
Yes, we see.
That's when I fell for the leader of the pack.
Thank you.
Weiss, who fronted the group, was born in Queens, New York, and raised, she said, in poverty. Her father died when she was small, and her mother found it hard holding things together. Weiss learned to fend for herself. Since she loved to sing, she formed an a cappella girl group when she was 13 with her big sister Betty and twin school friends Mary Ann and Marge Ganser. They sang on street corners, progressing to sock hops and school dances, and made a little cash. Word spread, and a local music businessman, Artie Rip, of Kama Sutra, signed them. They made two singles that went nowhere. Then George Shadow Morton crossed their path. Morton, who wanted to be a songwriter, met Jeff Berry, who'd written a number of hits with his wife, Ellie Greenwich. Morton pitched him a song, and that same night went home and wrote Remembering, Walking in the Sand. The Shangri-Las were hired to sing the demo. Berry and Greenwich thought the 7-minute song weird, but Lieber and Stoller had them record it and released it on Redbird. It was a top 10 hit. A second single quickly followed. Berry/Greenwich, Delinquent Death disc leader of the pack. At 16 years old, Weiss had her first number one. Life became a nonstop series of shows with breaks for recording. During 1964 and 65, the group toured with the Beatles and the Stones and made a promo trip to London, where Remember made the UK top 20 and Leader of the Pack, banned by the BBC, topped the charts. They released several more singles, but no more number ones. Things worsened when they moved to Mercury, largely since Weiss was spending most of her time battling music business lawsuits and making no money. In 1968, the Shangri-Las disbanded. For the next decade, legally prohibited from using the group's name or singing their songs, Weiss took a 9-to-5 job. In 1977, Seymour Stein signed her to Sire, but no record came out. There was a one-off Shangri-La reunion in New Jersey in 89. Weiss later signed to Norton Records and, backed by Memphis garage punks, Raining Sound, released Dangerous Game, 2007, her first and last solo album. Weiss went back to her day job, but the impact of the Shangri-Las lived on, still does, not just the drama that Amy Winehouse loved about their music, but the whole look and attitude. Where other mid-60 girl groups wore chiffon dresses, Weiss's group wore black pants, bought from the men's department, leather waistcoats and boots. They really were street tough, Greenwich said. She found it hard at first to deal with their gum-chewing and cussing in the studio. No big surprise, then, was the influence the Shangri-Las had on the 70s U.S. punk rock scene, particularly in New York. At the time of her death, Weiss was working on a Shangri-La project with a script writer, a stage musical featuring their songs. And the classic album of the week happens to be one of my favorites, and possibly yours as well. That's Michael Jackson's Off the Wall, 1979. Unlike Stevie Wonder, who shifted seamlessly from child phenomenon to adult star, Michael Jackson endured a tricky musical adolescence. By 1979, he had not had a solo hit in 7 long years, and the 19-year-old was desperate to find a new musical mentor. While rehearsing for the all-black musical The Wiz in 1977, Jackson shyly asked jazz and funk mastermind Quincy Jones if he could recommend a producer. Jones volunteered himself, building a studio band around two of his acts, the brothers Johnson and Rufus, along with session musicians including Stevie Wonder's keyboard player, Greg Phalanges. Together, they created an intricate fusion of razor-sharp disco beats, state-of-the-art funk, heartbreaking ballads, and clean pop hooks that reinvented the sonic vocabulary of R&B. There are some premier songwriters on board: Paul McCartney, Stevie Wonder, Bacharach's partner Carol Beyer, Sager Brit soul guru Rod Temperton. But the centerpiece of the album is Michael's jittery, frantic opening track, Don't Stop Till You Get Enough. Here's some of that song, Don't Stop Till You Get Enough, from Michael Jackson off of his album Off the Wall.
I was wondering, you know, if you could keep on, because the force has got a lot of power, and it makes me feel like that. It makes me feel like that.
Falsetto, hollers, and frisky yelps serve as an obbligato to the lead line, puncturing Ben Wright's thrilling string arrangement and Jerry Hayes' tight horn charts. Other tracks replicate this triumphalism, but even Schmaltz, like She's Out of My Life, is so simple and unaffected that you are left weeping with Michael by the song's end. And here's a little bit of that song, She's Out of My Life, from Michael Jackson, from the album Off the Wall. Thank you.
2 years.
It sold 12 million copies, and Quincy Jones' overhaul established a precedent for other artists seeking to escape the teen band ghetto. But none can match the sheer genius of Off the Wall, an album that serves as the Rosetta Stone for all subsequent R&B. Here's a little bit of one of my favorite tracks on that album, Off the Wall, from Michael Jackson. Unfortunately, once again, we're all out of time. Please join me next week when I continue the countdown of Mojo's Top 30 Steely Dan Songs. Also, an article about Studio One reggae producer Clement Coxon Dodd and a classic album review of Kaya by Bob Marley. Until then, this is Andy Bombach for Mojo Music saying so long and keep rockin'.